13. Who is the greatest? Jesus' teachings are a paradox to our worldly thinking. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Jesus' whole attitude toward children was radical. To understand just how radical Jesus' teachings about children were, it is essential to delve into the way children were treated and viewed at that time. When Jesus taught that we are all children of God, he was announcing that every child or person is of equal, inestimable value in the eyes of God. This was astonishing to the Jews. They saw themselves as the chosen people. It was also astonishing to the secular authorities of the time. In the Roman Empire, your value as a child was based in large part on your parentage. If your father was a king, then you were a treasure to the nation, especially if you were a male. Other than parentage, the value of children was determined by their ability to serve the state. At the time of Jesus, all children were not considered equal. Women were generally shut off from education and public life, and many grew up to be slaves. The empire had an insatiable need for labor, and women and children were often the slaves who filled this need. Even more horrifying was the practice of exposure, which involved abandoning a newborn child in a secluded area, often a dump or dunghill, and allowing her to die from lack of food and care, ravaged by animals or the elements. Sometimes abandoned children were rescued, but usually by opportunists who were looking to raise them to sell them as slaves. During those times, the head of the household had the legal right to decide the life or death of a child, especially during the first 8 days of life. The reasons children were exposed included poverty or inability to provide for the child, disability or deformity, the desire of a wealthy family to avoid dividing the estate, wrong gender, males were valued more than females, and illegitimacy. The earliest followers of Jesus became known for their radical love because they rescued these abandoned children, took them into their homes, and cared for them. We have come a long way, primarily because of the way Jesus' teachings transformed how we view children. When Jesus said things like, "Let the little children come to me," Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, it wasn't just a cute gesture. He was turning social structures upside down. He was boldly announcing, "Children are important. Children matter." When Jesus announced that we are all children of God, he threatened the social and economic structures of his time. The same teaching challenges those structures today. If we truly believed that the children starving in our own country and around the world were children of God, how would we behave differently? If we actually believed that women being persecuted and suppressed around the world were our sisters, what would we do about it? If we are all children of God, and the shoes we wear are sewn together by a child in a foreign country who should be at school, not at work, and is being paid less than it costs to simply survive, what is our moral responsibility? The gospel of Jesus Christ is a radical invitation to get beyond our own self-centered worldview and do our part to protect and liberate the most vulnerable children of God. In doing this, it is also important to remember that some of God's most vulnerable children are adults. Jesus teaches us, "Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Lines like these are haunting if you really reflect on them. The Gospels turn our social structures upside down by announcing that we are all children of God, and therefore we are all sons and daughters of a great King. God wants us to embrace our identity as His sons and daughters, and then recognize the same identity in every person we encounter. It is a difficult lesson. The culture is full of identity confusion. As a parent, I am constantly vigilant regarding the identity my children are taking on as a result of daily interaction with other people and the culture. I want my children to know that they are children of a great King, God. I made a poster to hang in my daughter's room that reads, "I am the daughter of a great King. He is my Father and my God. The world may praise me or criticize me. It matters not. He is with me, always at my side, guiding and protecting me. I do not fear because I am His." In the boys' room, there is the same poster with just a couple of changes. "I am the son of a great King." The divine social structure is radically different from the one we experience every day. Think about Christianity next time you take a trip. Those who travel a lot and have elite status with airlines and hotel chains receive special privileges. They are treated like kings and queens, with upgrades to first class on flights and great suites in hotels. They get to check in first, board first, avoid long security lines, enjoy free meals and beverages, and more. This is the way of the world. Now imagine if Jesus owned an airline. The pre-boarding announcement would be, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jesus Air. We do things differently here. We are delighted that you are joining us, and we look forward to serving you so that you can have an incredible experience. At Jesus Air, we board by zones. Zone 1 consists of those with absolutely no status in this world, the lowest of the low on the frequent flyer totem pole. Zone 2 consists of our silver members. Zone 3 is for our gold members. Zone 4 will consist of our platinum members. And finally, Zone 5, in which there are only middle seats left and absolutely no overhead space for your carry-ons, is for those overprivileged, constantly pampered diamond members. At Jesus Air, our motto is, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Thank you for flying Jesus Air." We all enjoy VIP service, but Jesus tells us that the least among us deserve it too. Who are the least among you? How are you treating them? Jesus tells us that we should be giving them preferential treatment. Sobering, isn't it? Radical. Jesus teaches us to give preferential treatment to the poor. Let's take a look at a story that he told that haunts me. It is about Lazarus, the poor man who sat at the rich man's door begging for scraps from the rich man's table. The rich man died, and Jesus conveyed this conversation from the afterlife. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." Luke chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. This one scares me, because like the rich man, I get to enjoy many of the good things life has to offer. The poor may not be sitting on my doorstep, but they are not far from it. This story makes my soul tremble, because Jesus clearly speaks about an afterlife and a place that I have no interest in spending time. He also makes a connection between the way we live our lives here on earth and where we end up in the afterlife. The Gospels inform us of our serious and inescapable obligation to the poor. It is impossible to separate the spiritual teachings of Jesus Christ from his social teachings, just as it is impossible to separate our love of God from our love of neighbor. The dual command to love God and love neighbor are inseparable. It is easy to say, "I love God." It is easy to say, "I am a Christian." But Jesus challenges us to prove it. Our love of neighbor is the proof that we love God. Point to ponder. The poor, the needy, the hungry, the lonely, the ignorant, and the afflicted are God's special friends. Verse to live. Live justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with your God. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Question to consider. Do your values align with Jesus' values? Prayer. Jesus, set the child within me free so I can be more childlike with every passing day, and open the eyes of my soul that I may see your children all around me.